This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are. Couldn't be wetter than here. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's, they called it showers. It's pouring rain, but it's beautiful, I should say, and it's beautiful. And the highs are near 55 degrees, so nothing to complain about. Saturate the ground. Nice and safe and luscious and green. It is 2:59 and time for Arts Live and Local, going out to Squamish, maybe Sydney and Robin and Omaha, maybe Nova Scotia or East 66th Street, Wyoming, LA, wherever you are, I hope. Your weekend will be as rich as ours is going to be. Hope you all got a chance to be out and about, you locals, that is, you regionalies, for Art Walk last week. If you didn't, this is, the stuff is still here. Last night, I went to the Clatsop Community College Art Gallery, Royal Nebucker Art Gallery. That show is only up for one more week, because it's been up already all month. And there is some stunning material there. So if you have a chance, get on up there. Got some music to start us out from Bree, Greg, and Redbird. And they are going to be playing at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow evening. Thanks for being here, folks. Do stay tuned.
They say I'm like a rolling wave, way out on the ocean. Maintain height, maintain speed, always in motion. If I slow down, I disappear. A cloud in the sky, so I just roll along and wait for you to drift by. Once I rode a big white horse with six guns on.
Greg and Redbird. Again, they're going to be over in the Long Beach Peninsula at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, where they have music quite frequently, including Wednesday nights when they bring in local artists, which is quite delightful. Get to hear some of the folks who live around here and have lots of good music to offer. Well, in addition to the wonderful music, we have all the arts happening here. And in my hand, I have a beautiful brand new book of poetry. And I have the poet sitting right here, quite familiar to most of the KMUN listeners. He reads a lot on the radio, but yeah, usually it's bedtime stories.
Every other Monday.
And poems.
I always have some poems with bedtime stories.
Right, but they're a little different from these.
Oh, yes, quite different.
The name of the book is Another Shore. It's stunning. Kelsey Books, I'm going to ask you to tell us who did this and the the design as well. I like the size. It's different. It's a little larger. And Jim is, as many of you listen may remember, this is mostly an event-driven show. And Jim will be reading his poetry from this book tonight, 7 p.m. at the Astoria Library. That's on 10th Street and Exchange. And 7 o'clock, but get there earlier, obviously, so you can get yourself a seat. It's not huge. Jim, congratulations.
Well, thank you
right
so much.
Off the bat.
Thanks.
How long have you been working on this?
Oh, well, I finished it finally and found the publisher about a year and a half ago. A year ago, July.
And then does it take that long to...
It took till last April when they started production and doing the cover and layout. And then it was really, it came, got printed in May, but I've been busy with many things. So
I know.
This is my first opportunity to do a release.
Well, it's
a reading from it.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
As I commented to you, reading through, although for those of you familiar with Jim Dott's poetry, and he's one of the people who is instrumental in making sure there is poetry in this town, going way back to the River Theater, wasn't it?
Yeah, Monday Mike.
Monday Mike, yeah.
Florence Sage and I were co-hosts of that.
And that's got to be, well, it's been closed for 12 years, so it goes way back. And now, of course, we have the wonderful Rick's Mike.
Yes.
And that's the first Tuesday of the month.
First Tuesday of the month at... Winecraft.
Winecraft, which is the...
Pier 11.
Right. It's the foot of 10th Street, and you may not be able to get to it for a while, but you can find a way. Go down 11th.
You go down 11th now.
And walk through the building.
Yeah.
So it's well worth, because it's a delightful place that's used by the community. But I am, for full disclosure, Jim Dott was... and was a resident of Brownsmead. Now he is an honorary Brownsmead person and has been for a number of years. But he's always written poetry for the holidays for us. So this goes back probably 25, 30 years.
Pretty close to 30 years.
And I found that the poetry in this book was different. It's still... Yeah. It still relates to nature, but tell us.
Well, it's kind of, in a way, it's historical fiction in poetry. So it's a narrative, but not, you know, not a straightforward, straight line narrative, but it's a narrative set in the 1620s in Plymouth Plantation, Massachusetts, which used to be the Patuxent village of the Wampanoag people. Before the Pilgrims came, they set up their town right there on the old village, which had been abandoned because of plagues of various kinds. So I've always been fascinated with that story, the story of the Pilgrims and the native peoples and their interactions. And I've also been fascinated with the story of Joan of Arc, you know, the hearing voices and... So I kind of took, and then the third part is, you know, a lot of colonists were kidnapped and taken into Native American culture, and you know, especially children sometimes decided to stay living as Native Americans. And I'm, part of this, my premise is, what would happen if somebody, a European chose to enter that culture? How would that happen? And this is kind of my answer to how it might happen.
Right.
So, you know, like the, something that drew them into that world, you know, a world where the spirit of nature is much more respected and powerful. And for this character, this young woman in the story, it is very much so that way.
Can you... Why don't you read us something from the book, and then We can go forward and backwards, or back and forward. Go ahead.
Sounds good.
Jim Dott.
This is a poem called Fetching Water. She woke from that clot of dream, mother walking toward the dark water, hair loose down her back, auburn, amber, gray, wading in deeper, deeper, until only her hair fanned and floated on the polished black. The air was hot, her mouth was dry, no water in the house. She dressed and found the pail, the handle cool across her calloused palm. The light strengthened as she walked, birdsong raining through her. A yellow warble squeezed from brown, a trill of garnet rising to ruby. Crow caws, star shards bursting white, white when flint sparks steel. At the spring she dipped and filled her pail, her dampened skirt hem, the eddy of milky bubbles, the fog just off the beach, fading, clear. She lugged it down to watch the backlit breakers lift to cresting curves, hold and hold over top, then break. Cataracts of emerald slurred with leaf-bud green, frothing into white cumulus, nimbus gray, foam and swirling ankles as she turns and turns, the pail sloshing over in the draining wake. A psalm plumbed from deep water blue. O rib of dust, come, be quenched. All of this is yours.
So you said you've always been fascinated with, you were a school teacher.
Yes.
What grades did you teach?
Mostly third grade, but some second and first and fourth.
And of course, we did learn about pilgrims.
And that was part of the curriculum, yeah. Especially when I did third grade, was the pilgrim story.
So have you personally ever sort of fantasized about entering a life of, you can't become an Indian, but you could, or one could possibly become part of the Indian nation if one were accepted.
I think at least, you know, living closer to the land, and certainly has been a fantasy of mine, and I do a little.
Well, that's
get a little close, but that, not, and not
that's,
as close.
And that's what I was wondering, the difference between living your life in touch with nature, as many of us do here.
Right.
Partly that's why we're here.
Exactly.
Is different from actually joining a peoplehood who there's lots more.
Oh, right,
involved,
exactly.
So.
Yeah, well, that's, I would think it's a little bit presumptuous to do that.
So how did this woman do? Or do you want to give it away, or maybe not?
Really,
okay.
I mean, you'll have to read the book or come and listen.
Come this evening to the library, the Astoria Library, 10th and Exchange, and hear Jim read and be able to purchase one of the books. Will they, or are they for sale? Will that be, or somewhere else?
I hope that they will soon, yes.
Okay.
But I wanted to have them available tonight and then go on from there to other sources. So you can get it off the internet through Kelsey Books, or actually from my website as well. jamesdott.com.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. That's challenging. I like this. I don't know this person, David Bogue, editor of Turtle Island Quarterly. Have you published in
Yes,
that
one
book?
Of the poems actually was from the book was published in that.
Nice.
And they've published other things by me as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's an online mostly poetry journal. So, yeah, very nice.
And he wrote... James Dott's poems offer both visionary and humane insights. They draw us into a world where the natural world is matched, this is the part I like, with the inner landscape of self-awareness, intelligent and artistic values. They will lead you into introspection.
Hope so.
Nice, nice. And Robert Michael Pyle wrote about it as well. of course, and I can imagine, Temple. And Karen Temple, too.
And both of them are going to, hopefully, if Bob's voice is good, both of them are going to help me read some of the poems tonight.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
So. Nice, nice. Yeah, we have a very rich poetry community here, which is, as I said, partly because you got started in there a while back and kept going. Mm-hmm. And people join and poetry becomes more popular. So you said you finished this a while ago. Are you working on new material now?
Yeah, I have another manuscript which is about trees called Naming the Trees, which I keep fine-tuning and sending out and fine-tuning and sending out again.
Okay.
So, keep hoping that somebody will
pick it up. Yeah.
And,
yeah. And that that sounds more what I'm expecting
what
to hear from you. Although I don't know what you say about the trees, so maybe I shouldn't say that. You know, that's a whole another story. But this book is quite. When I read it, I have to read it several times each piece because it's it is very evocative, and very touching of human innards. I see you also have some French in here. Do you speak French?
Only a little bit.
Okay. Enough to
Hopefully pronounce in. The words in there.
Okay. Oh, you can give that one to Karen. Another Shore Poems, James Dott, and Kelsey Books. You'll want to have this in your collection. Give it as gifts. I'm thrilled at what you've been doing, Jim. But I feel very fortunate to have your poetry
over
the ages.
Amy Kreider at the library is having us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the library's been good about hosting folks. So there's I'm just looking at some of the names of these poems as well. Since Jim isn't going to give away the story, I'm allowed to do that with Fetching Water is the one he read, but Undertow, Prodigal Daughter, Only Her Shoes, Into Wilderness, Basketry, Raven's Dream. Good. Looking forward to tonight.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So 7 p.m. at the library.
7 p.m., but be there before 7 p.m.
Yeah, so you can get a nice seat.
Yeah, and we want to... I'm not doing anything except enjoying it. So thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you so much.
And again, you can hear Jim on Coast Community Radio every other Monday evening. Got a tune from my next guest, and... you may even recognize it because this one is Resurrected. Sequoias Resurrected. Kim Angeles. Stay tuned, folks. Thank you. difficult to bring this music down because I love it, and I'm sure you're loving it. So here's what you need to do. You need to come to the Pioneer Presbyterian Church, and it has a Warrenton address. It's right on 101. I'll give you the address later. And this Sunday at 4 p.m., Kim Angeles and Jennifer Goodenberger are going to be playing, I believe, the music from the new album. Is that true?
We are going to attempt to play almost all of the CD, plus a couple of Jennifer's gorgeous songs to give the audience some relief from all the finger gymnastics and bombast and being hit over the head with violin madness.
Well, that's only fair, actually, because it sounds, am I correct, Jennifer, you learned all the music.
Yes. Yes.
And she's done a great job.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. There are 9 pieces, but that doesn't begin to tell you. Well, what you just heard begins to tell you how involved Kim's music is. First, right off the bat, a huge mazel tov. Congratulations on this beautiful album.
Thank you.
Passages. And boy, have you been through some passages in the last few years.
Yes, I have.
Yes. Now, Kim, how many albums have you put out?
This is number 9.
Number 9.
Yes.
When was the last one, though?
It was almost 9 years ago.
Yeah.
9 and 9.
Right. So life kind of got in the way.
It sure did.
In many ways.
Yes.
And now this. Most of the pieces are new?
Yes, they are.
Okay, but Sequoias, the one we just played, says resurrected. Now, of course, that's one of your words because you do delve into biblical issues, but am I to understand that is you took an older piece and did what?
Exactly. It was recorded 20 years ago, and I never liked the recording. I didn't feel that it was expressive enough. I felt it was stiff. And so I took this opportunity to re-record it, and I'm super happy with the new version.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself.
Great.
Because the old problems from 20 years ago are solved. And so I put Resurrected in parentheses after I'd recorded it because I felt like, wow, this song has been resurrected, and my life has been renewed, and I've been able to get a new start, and Jennifer's part of that new start, and it's just great.
So, Jennifer, the reason I was marveling at Jennifer learning all the tunes is she is not recorded on this album, so this was an extra task. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to...
Well, one of the things I say about Kim and me is we are so ultimately different in our styles of music, but somehow it really works. And her music is a lot of fun to play.
Oh, wow.
Like this tango, you know. What fun.
I played Tango de Paco. I played that on my folk show.
Thank you.
Yes. Delightful. Oh, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. And then you turned around and learned some of Jennifer's.
I love playing her music.
Yeah.
As I said, it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Well, lucky us. So why don't you tell us, I mean, I see Sweet Botswana, and I know you traveled and played in Botswana as a traveling artist in Botswana, in China. Where else?
Those two countries are represented on the CD and our trips there.
Wait, and which is the China one?
It's Longing.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of funny. That is kind of like an Oreo cookie. This.
Now you're talking, Mike.
Yes. On each side of the frosting in the middle is a Chinese folk song that I learned when I was in China in 2014. Fell in love with song, but no one could tell me what the name of it was.
Oh.
It's a Chinese folk song.
Wow.
And then in the middle is some of my own music.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns, so I just called it Longing, because I was longing to know what the name of it was.
Okay, fair enough.
And then Jennifer's brother, John Goodenberger, heard the CD, sent me an email saying, I know what the name of that song is.
Oh my God, too much.
He heard it when he was in China years ago.
Now wait, was this John or Mark?
Yes, John.
John. Too much. He isn't even a musician.
But he
right.
Knew the name.
Well, he's very musical. He yes. just doesn't
exhibit it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Fortunately, the song is about forbidden love, so it is longing.
Oh. Well, there you go. You
but
must have had an intuition. That's not what you had in mind.
No. Nope.
Where did the other pieces come from? For example, The Promise.
The Promise is a song that I was writing when I was starting to experience some difficulties, and it just was a way to deal with what was going on around me. I just kept writing this song. It was very, very, very tough, and it's actually where the CD got its name, Passages, originally. This was in 2013 that I wrote this song. And the technical passages in this song are the most difficult that I've ever, ever done or written.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, I'll call my next CD Passages. Little knowing that I would go through some life passages.
Oh, my goodness.
Idea what I was in store for. But
okay. You are at liberty. I mean, if you'd like to share some of what you went through and how that has... whether it's just inspired you to write more, did it change your music? And you can tell.
It changed it a
as
lot.
As much as you
in
like.
That, well, instead of my husband, Yosef, sitting next to me here, I have Jennifer Goodenberger sitting next to me. That's a dramatic change. And for me, it's full circle. I started out as a classical violinist with piano accompaniment when I would perform.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It's back, and I'm loving every minute of it, and that is not to deprecate Yosef in any way, shape, or form, but he always had guitar going on and wild guitar, and this is a dramatic change, and it's the first CD I ever recorded without him. It's a whole new world, and for listeners who are wondering about Yosef, he has dementia, and he had a psychotic break. And so he is in a facility where he is very, very well cared for, and they love him. They really do. And they're doing what I could not do. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it, as I'm not a doctor or a nurse or the other things or that he needed. And so that was the huge passage, the big, big, big loss in my life, actually. He was the love of my life.
And then your body started talking
then,
back to you.
Yes.
So.
Then, shortly after Yosef was placed into the facility, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was, pretty serious. So I had to undergo an entire year of treatment. And during that year, I couldn't play the violin at all for 6 months. And that was the most time in my entire life with the violin that I had not played. And in the first couple of months, I was okay with it. I thought, well, it's high time for a sabbatical. And then, oh boy, I started to really have some emotional problems not playing, and I was very concerned that I wouldn't have vibrato, that I wouldn't be able to play, that it would take me months to get back, that I wouldn't remember my music. And all of those concerns were for naught.
Right.
When I could play again, I could play.
Yeah.
And I could remember my songs. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So I am very, very, very grateful.
Yeah.
To be able to
Well,
play,
we are all very here. Grateful, exactly, for you to be here. And I am just, for me personally, I want to send this album, this concert, and Kim's dedication to my beautiful young friend, Britta, who died of cancer yesterday.
Oh, no.
This morning was the funeral, but I'm here, and that was in Portland. So I've been sending the wishes out. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We let the arts heal us. So yes. Your music, which healed you and cheered Jennifer, and will cheer everyone because your music is so beautiful. And I am delighted. Jennifer, I want to give you kudos for taking this on, because that can be daunting, not just because it's challenging music, but mm-hmm. also you're doing someone else's music. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just someone else. It's Kim Angelis, yes. who has...
who, she has a bit yes. of a reputation.
So tonight, Sunday at 4 p.m., the address, if it means anything to you, because is 33324 Patriot Way, Warrenton. So if you want to put that in your research engine or your GPS, you can do that. Pioneer Presbyterian Church. And Dwight has been very instrumental, yes, sorry the pun, but I mean it. Instrumental in bringing music to the community now that he is at the Pioneer Presbyterian Church. So the album is Passages, and also we will hear, Jen, what of your music are we going to hear from where?
We're hearing Celtic Lullaby.
Okay.
Which is from my first CD, which I'm also re-releasing after 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Romance, which is on my most recent CD.
Nice, mm-hmm. nice. And I just have to give an extra tip of the hat to Jennifer, because she created an album. I've told this story before. She created an album which is intentionally meant to put a person to sleep. Mm-hmm. And it works. And the name of it is...
Breathe Peace.
Breathe Peace. I highly recommend it if you, like me, have difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you won't go to sleep to this, to either her other music or to Kim's new album. Congratulations. Really wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we'll be hearing more music from you, I presume?
Yes.
Good.
And I just want to emphasize one thing. There's a beautiful article in the paper in our Coast Weekend, but it says the concert's on Saturday. It is on Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Boy, last week, they must have something about Saturday. Last week, there was a gig on Friday, and they said it was on Saturday. Yours is on Sunday. Well, at least if someone gets there early, they can go back. But Sunday, 4 p.m., Pioneer Presbyterian Church, Kim Angeli's brand new album, Passages. Kim and Jennifer Goodenberger will be giving you a gorgeous concert. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Bet.
Yeah.
And I do have some music from Megan Alder, who's playing at Pickled Fish this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Thanks for listening, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. Thank you.
taking chances, but I say fair is fair. You like living in the city where the air is nice and warm. Everybody's got their problems, but I can't fix yours anymore. So I'm walking out that door. It was over before it started. It was over.
Well, nothing's over yet here. We are still involved. And boy, I've got lots more folks coming in. So Ron Craig is here with me. You all know why Ron's here. He only comes in for one reason and only once a year. And that is the Astoria International Film Festival. It is happening next weekend, the 25th through the 27th. Hey, Ron, what number is this?
This is number 13.
Number 13.
Lucky number 13.
Absolutely. I consider it a lucky number. It's all happening at the Liberty?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you can go, I'll tell you right off the bat, to libertyastoria.org. And find the AIFF, and it's got, if you click on buy tickets, you don't have to buy the tickets right then, but you can see all of the, what the films are, and there are some really exciting things. Why don't you give us a bit of a rundown here?
Well, we've always tried to connect, as an Oregonian, we like to be able to have some films that actually reflect our history in the Northwest. And we're going to open this year with the film Samurai in the Oregon Sky, which is a documentary that documents the bombing of the continental United States during World War II by a Japanese pilot. And we were always under the impression that never happened. There was no bombing on the continental United States. Well, it happened just east of Brookings, Oregon.
Yeah, that was the only place.
Yes, the only place.
On the mainland. Yeah.
And the short of it is, in 1962, the J.C.'s in Brookings decided to contact the individual who actually did the bombing. And it was an incendiary bomb in the forest there. And so they invited him. And it's just an incredible tale. I think you'd find that I call it When War Turns to Peace.
Okay.
But it's very, it's really incredible.
That's Friday the 25th.
Yeah, that's what we'll be opening with.
Okay.
And then we, the following film will be Black Pool, which is a, once again, it's actually a film, not necessarily a documentary, and it depicts a historical perspective for Northern Ireland, some of the events that were going on, and it goes fast forward to a contemporary situation where a young man realizes that he had secured this person that had been in, shall we say, a death situation in his family. So it's really black and white, really very, very exciting and stuff. And then Saturday, we do our international sort of crew. It's called Departure Lounge, and it's a short. And it's from Australia. Like I said, I'm not going to even reveal to you. It's a very short one, but it's very exciting.
And we don't have time to give all the information anyway, so give us a quick run on
also,
each
this
of
is
the
it's opening on Saturday, and then we have Best of the Northwest Shorts, and that comes from the Pacific Northwest Film Center in Portland.
Those are always fun.
Short films. And then one of my favorites is going to be The Pieces I Am, which is a documentary that is a tribute to Toni Morrison, who passed away a couple months ago. And like I said, if you don't know of this individual, it's just incredible. And like I said, I definitely recommend it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss that.
And that's great. And then we do Our Bodies, Our Doctors. And it's about women's health and some of the female baby boomers and male baby boomers may recall a book that was out in the 1970s called Our Bodies, Ourselves.
Yep.
And I'm going to kind of leave it with that because it's mm-hmm. incredible to revisit that. Mm-hmm. And then also on Saturday, we have one, My Summer as a Goth. And this essentially is a coming-of-age film. And it was filmed actually in Portland. And it's about a young lady. We all remember what we did when we were 17 years of age in the summer. So she fell in love at 17 with a gentleman who was a goth. And so the story goes from there on.
Okay.
But it's just, I won't touch it much more on that. And then Sunday, we always have 10:30, 11 o'clock, we have a croissants and coffee. For people to come and discuss the films and stuff, which is really great, a complimentary opening there. And we're doing Marley, which is a Bob Marley documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I really admit the fact that I'm re-showing this. We showed this about 5 years ago. And I had friends that come up to me in town, and they said, we didn't come to see that. I said, because there was a dog film that's called Marley.
Oh, how funny.
And I was asleep at the switch. I was not familiar with that.
No, this is Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
And you're talking on KMUN radio. Folks, get it together.
Right.
Bob Marley. Okay. So that's Sunday.
Yeah, and then each year we always do a sort of classic film. And this year we're going to close it down on Sunday with Easy Rider,
mm-hmm.
which is 50 years old.
Oh, my God.
So back when we did, Casablanca was our classic. But
yeah.
I don't know. I had a friend. I told her that. She said, why are you doing Easy Rider? I said, it's 50 years old. And she kind of turned.
Way.
She says, oh, wow. I recall that film.
Yes,
I said,
we all do.
Yeah.
So I need to tell folks, you go to libertyastoria.org to get your tickets. You can get them at the door as well. But there is a special price if you want. And we're not going to give prices, but there's a special price if you want to get the whole shebang. And also, I want to encourage you to listen next week to Arts Live and Local. It's not sure yet, but I may have something to share with a lucky listener. So tune in. But whether or not you do that, check these films out, and there are some absolute must-sees because you're not going to get them anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, that the film that we're doing in Our Bodies, Our Doctors, we will have a forum afterwards to discuss the documentary film. We tend to do that occasionally and stuff, so it'll be upstairs over the Liberty Theater, but I encourage
it. The McTavish room. Great. Okay, folks, Ron Craig puts it together, 13th annual. Thank you so much, Ron. I can't wait.
It's a pleasure
I'll
to be
there. I'll be wearing black because I'll be ushering, but I'll be there. Okay. Stay tuned, folks. There's still lots more happening. And I've got some music for you from Catherine Clare, brand new album.
We are Easter, bound for glory. Listen up now, he has a story. Language spoken like no other. Be my sister, I'll be your brother. Through the trees, he sees the sun has burned the hills down. She is pleased with every mile, stretching her. Next man.
favorite. She just said it. See, my favorite. Well, this is one of my favorite people sitting right here, right now. And that would be Catherine Clare. Holy cow, we have so much congratulating to do today. A brand new, let me turn on all these microphones. Am I
Yay!
Right?
Are we here?
You certainly are. Am I right? Is this a 2019 release? Yes, it is.
Yes, and we're releasing the first single off of this album. The album won't actually be out until 2020, but the single is released today. It's out in the world, and we're bringing it here to Astoria.
And it's going to be out in the Astoria world tonight, 8 p.m. at Kala. That's 1017 Marine Drive, south side of Marine. And you've performed there over time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Dinah is very supportive of good stuff,
she's
and that's
amazing.
Why.
Yes.
But this is, I don't even know these people.
Well, this is this is Alan Hunter okay. on the bass right. and Sid Ditson on the violin.
Okay.
And they were really the cornerstone of this album and the trio that is here tonight with me and the trio that is going with me to Europe on Tuesday.
When you say trio, you mean this trio.
This is the trio.
Okay, the
yeah.
trio.
Yeah.
I'm thinking... myself and the trio, and I'm thinking there's no. only. However, we do have someone else you can take.
I know. It's true.
We'll get to that later, okay. folks. Where are you from? Now I lost it. Sid yes. and
Alan.
Yeah. Where are you
Eugene
folk?
Eugene originally. Catherine and I both lived in Eugene. So
get on that, Mike,
yes.
please.
Get up on it.
Right. Sid yeah. and Alan. Okay.
And then I'm from Portland.
You're mm-hmm. from Portland. But have you played together before?
We have, mm-hmm. definitely. Alan yeah. recorded on my last album, Bones Will Last.
Oh,
and that album yeah. was very violin-centric. And Sid came into my life kind of right after that album. And so we've been playing live mm-hmm. as a trio for the last 2 years.
Okay, now, Sid, you mm-hmm. play
violin.
Violin. Mm-hmm. So you're doing double violins.
Yeah, we've got
time.
A lot of double violins.
I love double violins.
Yes,
it's so exciting.
It's our favorite. We are
yes,
in heaven.
Yes. Well, for those of you who, you know, I'm gushing because I've known Catherine for I don't even know how old she is now, but she was a lot younger when I met her.
That's true, I was.
And she used to hang out, live in Cannon Beach, and has always played beautifully and sung and guitar and violin. And the music I've been playing the last couple of days, just to let folks know you're coming, it's actually been solo material because
cool.
I wasn't sure
yeah.
what all was coming at us. So this is very exciting. When do you leave for Europe?
We leave on Tuesday.
This Tuesday?
This Tuesday. Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
Sid, have you done this kind of craziness before?
No.
Alan and I have toured Europe a number of times.
Yeah.
This is our first trio excursion.
Oh, my
yes.
goodness.
Yeah, yes.
That's going to be wonderful. So is there, I played the... title cut, mm-hmm. Eastern Bound for Glory.
Yes.
Tell us what...
Yes, that's the title track. I yes. know. I'm like, yes, that's what it's called.
That's what
yes,
it's called.
Yes, and that's the name of the album. And I love this song and I love this track. And it really came from touring, being on the road pretty full time, and a lot of images I collected from the road. And it ended up building out into this very epic piece with tons of violins
well,
and
that's,
this driving yeah. bass line.
Driving
and
bass line.
Then we finished the album and then had to figure out how to do it live. And we have succeeded with the help of some awesome technology. So come see us tonight because
Ooh.
We will not only be two violins and an awesome bass, we will sometimes sound like eight violins. And
oh
an
my
awesome,
God.
Two awesome bases.
Two awesome bases. Or more.
Or more. That,
yeah, well, that's why I said it was like, whoa,
yeah.
this is different.
It yes,
is
it
much
is.
Bigger than I'm used to used to hearing. So, and I wondered about the Eastern Bound because in your travels, you've of course gone to Europe. You also go to Japan. Have
yes.
you done that with her as well?
Yeah, yeah. but under a different
Under a different band,
heading,
yeah, and we haven't gone together. I just got back from Japan last week.
Okay.
So I was
yeah.
there for 3 weeks. And Alan yeah. has a longtime connection to Japan.
Oh, nice, nice.
We'll be there again soon.
Well, it's good thing you don't stick around too long. You don't have a chance to get jet lag.
Exactly.
Because you just sort of skip a whole
keep
day.
Moving.
It's yeah, so
keep,
true.
Keep moving. It's great.
The hair of the dog version of jet lag treatment.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, folks, wow. I am going to just let you have that tiny teaser and tell you that you must show up this evening at 8 p.m. Now, here's the trick. If you're doing Astoria tonight, because there's stuff happening everywhere, Jim Dodd is at 7 at the library. That's on 10th and Exchange. Kala is on Marine and 10th. Get mm-hmm. the connection?
I do.
And that's at 8. I plan to be at both.
Great.
And you can, too. And so if you can't be here, maybe you live in British Columbia, where Squamish or Seychelles, where my friends live. Wait, that's coming next, folks. Then where can they? Where are they going to be able to find this
music?
So
you'll be able to find this music on Spotify, on iTunes, and Apple Music, and at my website, KatherineClaireMusic.com.
Okay, and that's KatherineClaire. Could be lots of spellings. Okay. Well, mazel tov on
Thank
the
you,
album.
Carol.
And I'm looking forward to hearing out these 400 violins and basses tonight
Thank you.
At Kala. Catherine and Sid and Alan.
Yes.
Thanks
so
much.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. I'm going to let them slip away. And although if they can stay outside there, I'll... Got my reasons. And I do want to play just a tiny bit of what's happening tomorrow night, also in Astoria, a house concert with Aaron Larche Kaplan, celebrating Spanish chamber music. He's playing at Dave Ambrose's house concert, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Then on Sunday, he will be at the Coaster Theater at 3 p.m. in Cannon Beach with a flamenco dancer, and in both cases there will be two musicians playing, so check that out. You're listening to him right now. I am squeezing in one more person because she's our kind of mystery guest. I'm going to take Aaron slowly take it down because it's so hard to leave. This woman showed up in my email box a year ago, referred to me from Columbia River Keeper, my favorite people in the environmental movement, those who saved us from LNG here in this area. And I had no idea who she was, but she said she was doing this crazy trip. And then that was it. A year later, boom, here she is. About a week ago, I got an email saying, I'm going to be in Astoria. Not only am I going to come and land up in Astoria, I'll give you a hint, folks. Her gig was called Source to Sea, and there is a kayak tied onto the top of the van. Does that give you a little information? But she is doing a talk tonight at Fort George, probably in the Lovell Room. And that is happening, do you know what time it is?
At 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yeah, so. And it'll be a slideshow as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. Claire Dibble, great name too. She's dibbling around in the water. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. But Claire, welcome to Astoria, to dry land.
Thank you.
What in heaven's name have you gone and done? I mean, this is just amazing.
Yeah, well, I have paddled 1,200 miles from the source of the Columbia River in southeastern BC all the way to here, and it's taken me about 3.5 months. And I'm very happy to be here now.
I bet you are. You paddled in a kayak?
That's right. I built a skin-on-frame kayak, the F1 design from Cape Falcon Kayaks, which is in Portland. And, paddled that little 14-foot boat with all my camping gear and camera gear. And
But you took out each night?
Yes, okay. Yes. I was camping along the way. It was a solo journey. I had a bit of support here and there from friends and family, but most of the time was on my own, and creating a portrait of the river in 2019 amidst the Columbia River Treaty renegotiations. So making a lot of photographs of the things and some of the people that I was seeing and meeting.
And you are from British Columbia. Is that
yeah,
right?
I live in BC, in Golden, BC. I'm not originally from there. I grew up on the coast of Maine, but I have been in BC for about 12 years.
It's the same. I know. Yeah, I lived in Nova Scotia, so and now I'm British Columbia. The friends I gave a shout out to in Squamish and Seashell are from Nova Scotia, now live in
great.
British Columbia. So have you been a water person, baby, all your life? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Most of my adult life, at least, mostly whitewater related. So a lot of time on rivers. Mm-hmm. And I basically started sea kayaking or really kayak touring about 3.5 months ago when I started this trip.
Oh, no. how is it that you felt confident? And also, did you map the area before you did it so you knew where you could pull out and all of that kind of stuff? Or
yeah, I was relying pretty heavily on a guidebook, which was part of what prompted the trip. Honestly, I was in the library one day and saw paddling all 1,200 miles of the Columbia River. And I thought,
gosh.
Oh, my goodness, that can be done?
What about the part that goes through nuclear waste?
The Hanford site. That was really fascinating. It's actually really beautiful in part because it's the only free-flowing, non-tidal section of the Columbia River in the U.S. And so there's a surprising amount of wildlife and more bird life there than in other sections.
Did it get lonely?
It did at times, yeah, but I really enjoy spending time on my own, especially in nature, and so, never more than I could handle.
Well, it sounds amazing. What are your plans now? You've got the thing on the
Yeah, the kayak is loaded up, and my husband came down to give me a ride home for what we're calling the final portage.
Wow, right.
And, so I'll head home and process about 1 million photographs, and I'm working on finding just the right venue for a final exhibition, which would include photographs and some audio that I was recording out there, and then the boat and other elements.
Well, how lucky we are here that you're going to give us a sort of an early presentation.
Yeah.
What are folks going to see when you said you have all of this material? Did you just sort of take a little from each place or what?
Yeah, exactly. I just have a small sampling of the imagery that I've captured out there, showing a bit of the range of landscapes through the course of the river and talking a bit about sites like Hanford. And
did you have a lot of experience with photography before you went?
Yeah, I'm basically a full-time photographer, a freelance writer and photographer,
I see. With a love of nature.
Yeah.
So you put it all together.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm hoping, because we're out of time. I'm hoping that when you do all this processing and put it together, that you will have going on the road a package that you can take on the road and you'll come back. And because this was kind of last minute, so I know there were a lot of people who are going, oh, my God, I really want to see this, but.
Right.
So hopefully you will be back. But tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lovell Room, Fort George Lovell Room, that's on the corner of, it's right down the block, one block down, 14th and Duane. And Claire Dibble will be there with slides and stories and a big smile.
And probably a beer.
And at least one. Your husband's going to do the driving. Hopefully you're going to spend the night around here first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.